Can you stand up for a second? If there's maybe like three people that you're really glad that they're here today, could you tell them right now and give them a hug? Like, I'm really glad you're here today. Oh, there's lots of gladness in the room. So much gladness in this room. I love it. For those on Zoom, group hug to Zoom. Give yourself a hug. Do one of these. Stand up. Have a good time. All right. So let's do this next. Let's thank God that he's here. Amen. All right, God, thank you so much that you're here with us. It's so easy to kind of mouth those words. It's just hard for me to understand that you're in the room, that your Holy Spirit's inside of each one of us, that there's lightning in here, God. There's power. You are the God who split the sea. You are the God who created the earth. You are the God in this room right now. You're the God who wrote the Bible. And it's powerful. I pray today, God, I pray the scriptures spark our hearts. I pray the scriptures open us up. I pray the scriptures detonate anything that needs to be detonated and destroys any lies that are in our minds or our hearts. And God, I pray we'll leave here excited, fired up, ready to face the world, and just really enjoy this time with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So if you're one of those people who love to know the name of a sermon before we get started, then I want to tell you. It's called Heavenly Kingdom Champion. Right. Heavenly Kingdom Champion. And honesty is a good thing, right? Yes. So it's okay if no one raises their hand. Anyone wake up this morning and tell themselves that already? Did anyone look in the mirror this morning and say, yo, you are a Heavenly Kingdom Champion? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody feel that way? Oh, we got one back there. Anybody feel that way this morning? Like you just came in like, feeling Heavenly Kingdom Champion. All right, so no hands on that. All right, so here's my goal today as your brother. My goal is to wipe any fog, mildew, baby cough up, coffee, Starbucks, on the lens of that reality. All right. On the power of that reality. My goal today is by the end of the time, you can let me know. If we're all successful, I think if we do it all together too, it's going to help. That we can leave here feeling and knowing the truth, the reality from the Bible that we are heavenly kingdom champions. Are you guys with me for that? All right, so let's get started. What I'm going to do first is I'm going to read an article that I wrote recently, and I just want to start with that, and you'll see why. It starts like this. Stop breathing. Stop eating. Stop sleeping. Stop walking. You might as well ask me to do the above at most parts of my life. Wow. Woo! Hey, I wrote this thing. Why am I upset? Why am I getting emotional? If you're gonna ask me to stop comparing myself, it's unconscious, so it seems, at least the temptation to compare. Comparing myself was fully unleashed in my life before becoming a Christian in college, yet not even now it can go unchecked and unmonitored, it can flare up and rear its ugly head. What role or power has comparing yourself to others played in your life? Maybe it was your siblings. Maybe it was your siblings you got compared to, or were compared to, or you compared yourself to. Maybe at your job, same thing. You compare or get compared. But hey, that's what social media is for, right? Take a break from all the pressure to compare and just veg. Just get completely away from comparing. But so it seems, but that's the irony. Think about it. You jump into social media and you start to scroll and you start to see what's going on, catch up some friends, take a breather, check in. Yet instead of feeling refreshed and rejuvenated, you feel worse about yourself and what's going on with you. What's going on? It's like our brains are watching a highlight reel, highlight after highlight after highlight of our friends and others, even strangers' lives. Subconsciously or consciously, it's like our mind sees all these happy people. Look at all they're doing. They're on vacation. Look at that car. Look at that relationship. Scroll after scroll after scroll. Picture after picture after smile, celebration after celebration. Anybody relate to this at all? So what other options are we leaving for ourselves but to compare our entire lives to a few highlights and seconds of theirs? The result for most people, it's in our minds. Our enemy starts this low-frequency conversation like this. Gee, I don't have that. I don't feel like that. I don't have those kind of friends. I've not gone on vacation in a long time. It just seems to fight with my significant... I fight with my significant other. Like when you see that happy couple, you're like, dang it, we just got in a fight, you know? On and on and on. Comparing is at full throttle, subtly. Isn't that funny how social media can be like that? Yeah. Comparing is on full time, but it's still subtle. You don't realize you're doing it. It's just happening to you. Yeah. And then the domino effect from the focusing on what you don't have because you compare your entire life with someone's 15-second highlight reel. Highlight reel after highlight reel after highlight reel versus your 24-hour life. So comparing yourself to others can have a range of negative repercussions, especially when it becomes habitual or takes a toxic form. So just some of the things that can happen if you can fall into that is, number one, erosion of self-esteem. When you're constantly comparing yourself to others, especially in areas where you feel inadequate, it can lower your self-esteem. You focus more on your perceived shortcomings rather than your unique strengths and gifts that God gave you. It can create chronic stress and anxiety. Trying to measure up to everybody else, it can lead to ongoing stress. Like, it's stressful. Oh my gosh. Jealousy and resentment. Comparison often leads to jealousy, which can damage relationships, foster resentment. Again, is any of this hitting? Okay. Inability to focus on personal growth. Because what happens is we're comparing yourself to others, shifts your outward focus, making it difficult to recognize your own personal growth. What's going on in your garden? You know, you got a few carrots going on. You pass the neighbor with all the big gardens. You're like, dang, man, I got nothing at my house, right? Of course, house, I'm talking about heart, mind, soul, strength, abilities, material goods, and everything else. Perpetual dissatisfaction. It's like, why do we do it then, right? Why don't we go back to it if all these things happen? Because it's right under the wire. It's like we kind of feel it, but not really, right? Like when this stuff's going on. Unhealthy competition. Comparison can lead to unhealthy competitive mindsets where everything becomes a race to outdo others. You know, I remember just as a kid, like no matter who it was, I just would be like, you know, or I will learn to beat them. Like no one was allowed to be better than me. Like 600 yard race, you know, and I don't know if they still do that in grammar school, but like that thing, like I just had to figure it out. It was like everything depended on winning for me. Distorted perceptions, decreased motivation, neglecting gratitude. We could go on and on and on. Let's turn to Judges chapter 6. We're going to look at a comparer here with a good ending. All right, open up to Judges chapter 6. We are going to look, and we're going to start down in verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat into a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But, sir... Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, well, you know what's really interesting? I never noticed till today is, look at the grammar here. The Lord is with what? You, mighty warrior. But what's his response say? But sir, if the Lord is with us. I never caught that before. I always thought that if the Lord is with me, but he's looking at the big picture here. He's like, he just kind of blows off God's compliment. He kind of blows off God's direct message to you. You are a warrior. You are a warrior, even though all this junk's going on, even though defeat, even though what you're about to say about what's going on, that doesn't negate who you are. Sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of circumstances. We're like, how could I be anything when all this is going on? How could I really be that person that God says I am when all this other stuff around me is falling apart? When other people aren't shining, how can I still be that mighty warrior, right? So Gideon is just confused, and you know, sometimes that happens too, right? He's like confused by it. So he says, but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, Why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring you up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon said, how can I save Israel? Right? So it started off us. But then when the specific charge was given to him, he's like, yo, dude, I am not your person. Yeah. All right? Anybody ever feel like that? You got the wrong guy. Say, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong girl. Not me. Right? Like, it's just like, I don't know if you ever felt like that, but like you are so off here, God. Or, you know, you feel this calling. You're like, oh, yeah, let's skip past that one pretty quick. So he throws it back at God. And he says, how can I save Israel? And here's the comparing, right? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the what? Least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. All right, so I want to read you something. This right here, but let me start this way. I do this thing called triathlon, and this is not false humility. There's a word for people like me. It starts with S and then L and then O and then W. Okay? That's for people like me who do the sport. Okay? So, because I compare myself to, you know, the average people out there. So I'll give you an example how slow I am. So Bruce and I just had a race 2 weeks ago. Well, and thousands of other people, right? But Bruce and I talked about it. So he averaged 21 miles an hour on the bike, and I averaged 18 miles an hour on the bike. That means that he beat me by 9 miles. In a 56-mile race, he beat me by 9 miles. Are you guys with me? That's slow, okay? Compared to Bruce, right? Compared to Bruce, that's slow. So I'm checking in for the race, and I could go on with examples with swimming and running too. Bruce does like an 8.5-minute pace. I do it like a 10.5 to 20-minute pace, okay? So now he is top 5 in his age group pretty much in any race he's at. So he's really fast. And then there's like me, really slow. So I'm checking in to the race. And they're like, I grab everything. I've done it like 10 times. And I'm like grabbing all this stuff. And just like, oh, Mr. Mitchell, wait. Mr. Mitchell, we see here that you're an all-world athlete. I was like, you got the wrong guy. Like, I'm like, no, this is Bruce Nussbaum. I'm Dave Mitchell. They're like, no, like you are. They said, and then they say, they hand me this, and they said, dear athlete, congratulations on becoming Ironman All-World Athlete. During the 2023 racing season, your performance and dedication placed you among the top 17% of athletes in your age group globally. There must be some really slow people outside of the country. Okay? There's gotta be some really slow people. So it says, earning you a bronze AWA status, you've earned your place among the elite through the hard work and commitment of Ironman and Ironman 70.3 Racing. You as a leader play an important role in the sport of triathlon, and we thank you for inspiring others around you. With this package, you will find commemoration of your 2024 bronze AWA status. Keep an eye on the website for updates throughout the year, blah, 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 blah. And then it says on the back, as a bronze Ironman All-World Athlete, you have received benefits. And it's got all these benefits. I took advantage of none of them. I'm like, where do I email someone? I go around to every table. What does AWA mean and how do you become one? So no one knew. And I'm like, dang it. So like, they're like, just do the race. And, you know, and it had all these perks that I didn't take advantage of, you know. And then I get home and I'm emailing, why am I AWA? You got to tell me, I do these races. I am not in the top 17%. There's a few caveats. You have to do more than one race. So you have to be at least a 2-race person, and then they compare you around the globe. So I just had to kind of nail that down to see what was going on. Okay, where are you going with all this? All right. What? Gold was top 1%, silver was top 5%, bronze was top 17%. I'll take it. All right. So here's the thing. Gideon is in the same place, way even worse than me. He's like, I'm the least. I, I know I'm not the slowest person, but Gideon was like mighty warrior, was like, right? With God. And he's like, no, I am the least. And God's like, with me, you're not. With me, we're going to take it all down. Right? And we know the story and how God thinned him out to 300 because God had to be the one to get the glory. And that's what God loves to do. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. You think it's just me I'm talking about today, don't you? It ain't. Your turn is right now. You're about to get hit with it. All right, Luke chapter 7, verse 28. Oh, here we go. Okay, so we're in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, and then it says this. This is what the Bible says. I tell you, among those born of woman, there is no one greater than John. John the Baptist he's talking about. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Amen? Okay. You know my response is, you got the wrong guy. Because let's just think about that. What's that really saying? There's, for every baby ever born, so who does that include? Name some people that includes from the Old Testament. Most of them are in Hebrews 11, the one I'm thinking of. So who else has been born of women that God is comparing John the Baptist to? Moses, who else? Samson, Elijah, Abraham, Moses. There's a lot more. Keep going. Isaac, Jacob. How about Daniel? How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? How about Joshua? How about David? How about Solomon? Solomon? He's great, but I hope that man's in heaven. I hope he repented. Woo! You ever feel that way with Solomon? Like, oh God, please, I pray he made it. Enoch. Enoch was taken up. So think about the compliment. Think about the compliment. Before we apply it to us, think about the compliment that Jesus gave John the Baptist. He's like, that guy was greater than all of those people we just mentioned. He's greater than all the people in the Hall of Faith. He's greater. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. So you know what that means? That you, or if you are in the kingdom, you are heavenly kingdom champion. You're not an all-world athlete. You're heavenly kingdom champion. Thank you so much. See, the lack of excitement is all the doubt in our heads, right? Like, I don't even know. I had to call my man Bobby over there. I'm like, dude, am I looking at this right? Like, what am I missing here? Because it seems just way off. Not that I had never read it before, but just to really, just this thing that happened with the AWA, All World Athlete. See, the thing is, within the Ironman organization, it's a marketing thing. You pay more money. I mean, but it doesn't matter because it's just in this little Ironman thing. Then they say this. This is not some Ironman thing. This is the word of God. This is saying, yo, you better get ready for Heavenly Kingdom Champion. You better get ready to be better than Elijah. You got, or should I say, you should realize your power, the least in the kingdom. That's me? Fine. Guess what? You're better. You're greater than John the Baptist. Wake up every morning greater than John the Baptist. That's the truth. That's the reality within the kingdom rules. Within the kingdom organization, within the kingdom realm. I was using the word universe. I wanted to say all universe disciple. My wife's like, it's bigger than that. I'm like, you're right. But I'll take all universe. I'll be like, yeah, I'm all universe. Why did Jesus say that? If you're better than John the Baptist, what does that do to comparing? Right? Like, I know the disciples, like, who's the greatest when they were there. And I don't know if it was before or after Jesus said this. But, like, think about it. If you give someone the highest honor, what is there left to go for, to shoot for? If you were a biker and you researched the best bike, hands down, it was, everyone agreed, that's the fastest bike, that's the best bike, you're going to win with that bike, and you have that bike. Are you going to go to that race and judge everyone else's bike? No way. What are you going to do? Yo, man, I got my fast bike. And you might even blow up someone else's tire. And you might even be nice and friendly. Help someone with an issue they're having. Because what happened mentally is I'm no longer judging or comparing. I'm free to serve. I'm free to give back because I got it all. Ooh, I got to take a break from that. So, go to Ephesians chapter 3, please. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. Am I the only one who's read Ephesians 3 and felt like Paul was just a little bit too intense with this passage? So let's go to Ephesians 3, verse 14. It says this: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Then he talks about his prayer for them in verse 16. "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Have you ever read that and go, man, that's a lot of adjectives. Man, like really? Like, you're praying for me? Let's go over it again in verse 18. "That you may have power together with all the saints." So not by yourselves, right? We're a family. We're a body. He says to grasp, and here we go, how wide and long and high and deep. That's a lot. That's a lot. And he's praying like, oh God, I pray they don't miss the deep. I pray they don't miss the high. I pray they don't miss the left. I pray they don't miss the right. I pray they get it all. And then he says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled. And then he doesn't, that you may be filled, period. No, no, no. That you may feel to the measure of all the fullness of God. You're better than John the Baptist. You're greater than John the Baptist. You're like, Dave, I can't comprehend. I know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for me to know the left and the right and the top and the bottom and how deep that goes. That no one would trade places with you. Not Elijah, not John the Baptist, not King David. None of them would trade the place with you because you're greater. Yeah, but I've got all this evidence that I'm not. I have all my times that I'm not an all-world athlete. I come in the top third sometimes. Somehow globally, I think the fact that you had to do two races, that put me in that thing. But I know the truth. I'm slow. But according to their particulars, I'm not. You're sinful. Yeah, you're blowing it. Yeah, you're doubting. Yeah, you had a fight with your marriage. Yeah, you bounced the check. Yeah, you've been greedy. Yeah. I get it. Have you been open? Great. Guess what? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And we come back and we're ready to go. And we look in the mirror and we say, I'm a heavenly kingdom champion. John the Baptist wouldn't even trade places with you. Not even John the Baptist, the greatest one. Let's think about the Colossians 3, verse 1, and let's think about it in light of what we've just talked about. You can turn there, Colossians 3:1, that'd be great. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on what? Things above. Because you know why? Because things below get pretty tricky. Because things below, they kind of, I'm going to say this, I don't think it's a curse word, suck sometimes, right? They just suck. Like, Jesus' word is trouble. In this life, you will have trouble. But like, the parameter of our eyes, like, boop, up. Up, things are great. Straight? Oh, man. Lord, I got to fast, right? I'm going to fast for this thing. This is huge. This is a side note. I think sometimes as older Christian, anybody an older Christian? Anybody at this for a while? Anyone feel least in the kingdom and glad it's worded that way? Okay. I want to encourage you with something. I think as younger Christians, we took on our sin at that time full force. We had some huge victories, right? We had some huge turnarounds. Oh my gosh. Maybe your purity, maybe your focus, maybe your finances, you know, maybe the way you spent your time, maybe just feeling awesome about God. And decades have gone. Anybody have decades gone by? Dorothy, you have any decades gone by? Okay, Dorothy's awesome. We have decades that have gone by, and we compare our current self to that old self, and we get discouraged. But you know what? You know what that old self wouldn't have been able to handle? Because you weren't mature enough yet? People passing. Kids that are kids. Going all over the place, thinking all kinds of things, doing all kinds of stuff. You wouldn't have been able to handle that. And here's my point. We don't give ourselves enough credit for hanging on in the hard times of stuff that wasn't happening to us in college or singlehood. And we've stayed faithful and we've loved God and we keep going. And God's like standing with applause, but we feel discouraged because maybe we're not sharing our faith as much. Or we feel discouraged because maybe that old sin came on back. But that should not overshadow the holding on that you're doing, the fighting you're doing, the praying you're doing, the showing up like you're doing. Ephesians 6 just says at the end, just stand. I'm up for that. I want to be standing at the end, right? But wobbly knees and everything. Crazy stuff happening on earth. I want to be there and I want to stand. How about you? You want to stand? All right, let's stand. Let's stand. So in Colossians 3 here, we were reading. Sorry about that. I kind of went off. But it's all on setting your mind to things above, not on earthly things. He says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual morality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, New Jerseyan, New Yorkian, Mets, Yankees, Phillies, Eagles, Giants. But in Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and what? Dearly loved. Man, isn't that amazing to hear from a parent? Like, you're dearly loved. When you tell your kids, you're dearly loved. God's like, you guys are dearly loved. But this stuff on earth, it's taking you down roads you don't want to go on. Avoid all that stuff. Get out of that way. Set your mind on things above. Things are good there. Set your heart on things above. Things are great there. Watch out for this world. It's going to try to clip you and pull you in. Therefore, in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion. Because I'm not judging, I can be compassionate. Because I'm not comparing, I can be kind. Because I'm not comparing, I can be humble. Because I'm not comparing, I can be gentle. Because I'm not comparing, I can be patient. To maybe get a new car someday, right? Anybody in that boat? Like, I just got to be a little more patient. We'll get the money. Look in verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If you have any grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Oh my gosh. Focus 3 minutes a day on the fact that not only are you greater than John the Baptist, but think about your favorite heroes. Think about some of the women in the Old Testament that are heroes to you, if that applies to you. And then just ruminate on that. Oh my gosh, this is so good. That's what it means to think about things above. Like, not that I'm just greater, but that's kind of encouraging, but like, I'm in the same league. I am greater, but like, I'm with those people. I am a hero to God. I've got his Holy Spirit, and we all share that Holy Spirit. That's encouraging. That's how we can set our mind on things above. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. When I'm not comparing, I can be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you rich as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Thank you for sings. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Have you guys ever heard of the term opportunity cost? Yes? Does anybody want to take a stab at that? What is it, Sam? Okay. Okay, cool. So we all love opportunities, right? And what's really hard sometimes in life is when you have two really close things you want to do, right? Like, I want to go to the, you know, I want to go to the diner for lunch, or I want to go to like Scalici's for lunch. And I'm like, oh, cheeseburger. Sicilian. And I can only go to one, and my stomach's only so big. So the opportunity is great, but the cost is losing out on one of them, right? So the opportunity cost for comparing your life with other people is huge. It's huge. It's been huge for me. The line of work I'm in as a coach, and all the coaches out there, and all the posts and blogs and people's business blowing up, and this guy just bought 3 yachts with just half a day's pay, you know? And it's just constant. I'm sure it's like that in your industry too. It's just like, wow. But the opportunity cost, while you're comparing, seconds are ticking off your life where you could have been doing something else. And that's what I want to talk about here for a second. I'd love to give you permission with a new perspective as greater than John the Baptist and all the Old Testament heroes to give up comparing, be so satisfied with that title, and do some of these things. Become an inspiring mentor. Become an inspiring mentor. Find some people, you know, maybe that's just through a little text here and there. You know, maybe mentor's a little too strong for you, but you've got advice and you've got things that you've learned, and something you had a pop in your quiet time, and throw it out there to 5 people, right? Keep believing at the people at work. You know, say hi to them. Don't get upset that no one's saying hi to you. Man, I'll tell you what, one of the most powerful things I learned this month was we don't make friends, we build friendships. And the person who was teaching it said, you know, sometimes we could be like, oh, I want to make some friends. He's like, listen, like 80% of the world claims to maybe have one really close friend. It's not working making friends. We need to build relationships. We need to be on the offense. And he was coaching one of his clients, and he's like, so how's it going with those deep connection friendships? And he's like, did you do the thing? Did you text 3 people every day like you said you were going to do? Guy's like, no. And then the coach says, I'll wait. You guys like, what are you talking about? He's, I'll wait. You'll wait for what? Go ahead and do it now. You want me to just text 3 people now? Yep. Don't ask for anything. Don't just encourage them. Put some fire in their life. Put some meaning in their life. Say something meaningful. Okay. Comes back. Did you do it? Yes. How you feel? Awesome. Because it's building. Building. If all of us in here, who would love to be closer to everybody in here? Wouldn't you love that? Right? Wouldn't you love to snap your fingers and just be, there's different times, even for me, I've been here 30 years. There's times I've been closer to you. There's times I've been closer to you. There's times we've been really far away and then we get back together and it's so awesome. But I'm sorry for just trying to make friends instead of building the relationships. Like, that made so much sense to me. I'm like, I'm doing that. I'm doing that. I can't keep score. Well, I texted them 3 times and I got 1 back, so they owe me 2. You know what I'm saying? Or I don't know if someone likes texting or getting calls or getting emails. Like, some of us are very specific. My wife loves phone. She's not love Texas, even though she goes multiple texts, Texas, and we always make fun of her. Hi, honey. Okay. She's like, I got my Texas. Anyway, we love her. Okay. So that was all under inspiring mentor. You can become an empowering friend, which we just talked about, when you're not comparing. You can spend your time being a supportive listener when you're not comparing. You can be you can celebrate peace and be a peacemaker when you're not comparing. You can have positive influence when you're not comparing. You can become a nurturing caregiver when you're not comparing. You can become a constructive critic when you're not comparing. Like, you know what? Instead of comparing myself to Dave's sermon, because he just really blew it today on it, but I've got an idea for him with his opening or his closing. Okay, that was a joke, but didn't work out very good. But like, if you have something constructive, come and say it, right? As opposed to like, whatever. I'm just going to let Satan put a barrier in between me. No, I got something to say, but I'm going to do it with love and construction, right? Everybody cool with that? Don't you appreciate friends like that? Okay, cool. Joyful encourager. I'm going to be a joyful encourager. I'm just going to be the one. I'm going to step up, and I'm going to take a swing. Collaborative partner, authentic friend, confidence builder, mindful coach, affirming ally, generous teacher, compassionate advocate. I know you couldn't write that all down, but my point is there's so much to do when you're not comparing. It's so freeing. It's so encouraging. But it's got to be fueled by a heart and mind set on things above. Because the reality above is really good. I mean, it's really good. When we don't check in up there, this is a really tough place to be. It's really tough. Okay. So, I wrote Vanessa Newsbaum. Hi, Vanessa, if you're on.
Tammy.
But I want you to read this. I changed it a little bit to like the letter I got for becoming an all-world athlete. And so I wrote this as a heavenly kingdom champion to Vanessa. You guys ready? All right. Okay. Vanessa, congratulations. You've earned. This is after she gets baptized. Congratulations. You've earned heavenly kingdom champion status forever. Because mine's only for 21. Mine expires in 1 year. In 1 year, I am not an all-world athlete. Let's be very clear on that, okay? Congratulations. You have earned heavenly kingdom champion status forever. This goes for all of us, right? This is her name, but you can put your own name in there. Your repentance and faith has graced you with the heavenly kingdom champion status. Your status is published in the book of life, denoted by a blood drop from Christ. Mine said denoted by a bronze dot. So for her, your status is published in the book of life, denoted by a blood dot from Christ. You can also download your heavenly kingdom champion from the word of God. Heavenly kingdom champion status comes with recognition and benefits that you may enjoy throughout eternity. You can check all the stuff in the word. All the phrases of in Christ are yours now. No condemnation in the heavenly realms. Just all those things forgiven forever, right? And prior to death, you will receive a heavenly kingdom champion reconfirming that awaits you in heaven. As a gift from us, we are pleased to provide you with a heavenly kingdom champion, Holy Spirit, which will be available for collection every day. And disciple check-in will be when you meet your maker. You are part of a unique group of disciples through passion and determination have climbed to the top of humanity, already defined by exceptional endurance and ambition. Your success continues to propel our kingdom forward, not just through faster finishing times, but through your advocacy, mentorship, and supporting example that you set for those around you. Again, we congratulate you on being awarded Heavenly Kingdom Champion. We thank you for your love for God and look forward to seeing you in heaven. your heavenly kingdom champion counsel. Let's go. Come on. Question. Is the lens a little clear? That was the goal of today. We got some fog gone. We got some excitement. Cool. So why don't we stand up for a second? And this time, I would love you, someone close to you, say, congratulations, you're a heavenly kingdom champion. Go for it. Congratulations, you are a heavenly kingdom champion. Thank you.